All right, welcome today. I want to greet you in the name of the Lord. We're going to be talking about prayer today, and I just want to also mention our church has joined with Church of the Highlands, and hopefully many of you have been able to do that. It's a 21-day of prayer and fasting campaign, and you can just go to rlfwc.com, and right on the page there it'll say 21 days, and it'll show you a link, and you can go there. It's 6 and 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, and on Saturdays it's at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. At 9 o'clock on Saturdays, we meet here at the church, and then people have been just doing it at home. And I've gotten a lot of great feedback from those who have been able to participate. So if you haven't done so yet, it's either 6 or 8 o'clock in the morning. They play it again at 8 o'clock. So for the California people, I guess it's a little early for them to get up at 6 our time. So, but anyway, today, go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. And I'm going to be talking about our daily bread, on how important it is to have daily bread. And I personally, myself, like things fresh. I don't know about you, but I have eaten some canned goods, but I would prefer fresh if I can get it. And I really enjoy this time of year, and probably many of you do too. You know, a lot of vegetables are coming out of the garden, aren't they? And you, I really like, you know, peppers and things like that. And, you know, I just love a fresh pepper. Just when you, you know, bite into it, you just hear that crunch. You know, you can just tell it's fresh. But have you ever bitten into a pepper that's been sitting around too long? You know, that just is a little bit mushy. I don't really like mushy. It's no longer crisp. And, you know, like I say, fresh is a lot better. And I think our spiritual life can get a little mushy sometimes. You know, we can get a little soft. And, you know, what I find in my life is that daily prayer, you know, keeps our relationship fresh with the Lord. Now, what I'm going to share today is just a few of the thoughts that came to me, you know, this week during the 21 days of prayer. And the first, like I said, the scripture we're going to look at today is Matthew 6:11 to start with. And it's part of the Lord's Prayer, and it's very brief and very amazing. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Just as simple as that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your Spirit. We thank you for the anointing to be here to break every yoke of bondage on each of our lives. Lord, we take authority over anything that tries to bring distractions and disturbance. Lord, I thank you so much for that anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage and being able to cause us to pull away from you. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're talking about fresh. Now, I've done a little bit of bacon in my, I'm eating a lot of bacon right now. I'm on the keto fast, you know, I like that. But as far as baking, you know, baking bread, I don't make it from scratch very much. I used to just get them frozen loaves. But, you know, I really love the smell of fresh bread. You know, something about fresh bread. And this is talking, I'm going to break it down in three different points here. You know, give us, you know, this day our daily bread. So first I'm going to start with this day. You know, God, in my opinion, is the God of now and not the God of someday. A lot of times when we get to praying, we don't really utilize our faith. See, it doesn't take a lot of faith to pray someday prayers. You know, I think sometimes we end up just praying just because we're supposed to pray. I mean, I'll be honest, I've done that. You know, there's times in my life as a Christian or as a pastor where I'm expected to pray for something. And a lot of times I really don't focus my faith on what I'm doing. I just pray just because I'm supposed to. And when I pray like that, usually I'm praying someday prayers. I'm not praying for today. I don't want it to happen now. I'm just praying that hopefully someday, you know, maybe down the line, you know, that maybe God's going to answer this prayer. And we need to turn that around because and get to the place that we need to have now faith, like it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, prayer helps us focus on the day and so we can trust God for tomorrow. See, we need to have a lot of trust today. And a lot of times our minds get scattered, don't we? You know, we just kind of think out there and all this and that and everything going on here and what we got to do here and what we got to do there. And, you know, we're just thinking that of all the things we have to juggle, not going to get it done. But what I find is that prayer just helps me to center myself. It causes me to pull back and to relax and just get into the presence of God. See, when we learn to trust God for today, we will learn how to not worry about tomorrow. And we just finished a series on, you know, talking about the mind and how important it is to overcome worry and how it robs us from so many things in our life. You know, maybe you're in situations right now. I know talking to a lot of the kids, we, met with the kids last Wednesday night, some of the youth group, and, you know, just talking about a few things about coming up school and just talking about people and the lives, what's going on with their businesses because of the COVID-19 and all the fret and worry. And, you know, I don't like to quote William Shakespeare very much, you know, to wear a mask or not to wear a mask, right? You know, I mean, that's just, you know, I know you're supposed to wear a mask. I don't want any hate mail coming in, but, you know, all that. I mean, just where does your civil liberties end? And some people are dead against it and all these things that we have to do. But, you know, we need to learn how to try. We need to walk in wisdom. But I do believe that trust is the most important thing that we're going to learn in our relationship with God. Amen. Because I believe that we do not really trust Him. Because we're so self-sufficient, we can take care of so many things, you know, because we have in our hand a little computer that can, you know, activate so many different things, and there's apps for that and doing this and that, you know, that we've lost our ability to learn how to trust. And, you know, and when we do that, our mind gets so confused and scattered. Okay, so we looked at fresh bread and, you know, how important it is to look at this day, today. Now we need to look at our. You know, prayer needs to be personal. We need to make it personal. You know, I do believe we need to pray for other people. And that's important. We don't want to be selfish, right? Nobody wants to be selfish. At least we don't mean to. But what I found is the fact that, you know, our daily bread, talking about me, there's some things in my life that I need to get fixed. And if I don't get those fixed, I can't fix other people. Right? So we need to make it personal with us in our relationship with God. You know, I believe that we have a group as a church, you know, that we come and we approach God corporately. But nevertheless, we still have to make sure that we keep it personal. Now, a lot of marriages, you know, kind of lose connection with each other, don't we? You know, it happens sometimes. You get real busy and you kind of lose connection with the person. Or maybe you can think in your life some relationships that you've had, maybe back in school or maybe just around here, and maybe they moved away. And you've kind of lost that connection with them, where you used to talk to them all the time, but now, you know, you haven't seen them so long, you forget what they look like. You know, that's why I take pictures of people that go to this church. You know what I'm saying? For those of you listening in today that ain't been coming for a while, no, I'm just kidding. You know, if you're still concerned about COVID, stay home. But if you're using that as an excuse, you need to get here. Amen. Get that corporate anointing. Hey, everybody say it out. Amen. There you go. We miss you. So anyway, so we need to get into that place, you know, where we don't lose touch, because we need that connection. We need to be able to communicate. No, I'm not talking about losing your salvation here. A lot of people, you know, take it to an extreme. I'm just talking about enhancing that relationship with God, because, you know, busyness of life can really pull us away. And what I find in my life, and I know I struggle with prayer sometimes. It's just not automatic. You know, because there's so many things. I mean, I'll be honest, one of the issues that I deal with is the fact that, you know, sometimes I don't sleep very good, you know. And when I don't sleep very good, you know, I wake up tired and then I just ain't feeling it, you know. But fortunately, this last week, God's been a real blessing to me. I've stayed in bed, you know, every night till about 5 in the morning or 5:30, and that's a miracle for me. I haven't done that for 15 years, you know, on a repeatable basis. So, you know, there's just things, but I know that there has affected my prayer life, because I used to just wake up bright and refreshed, you know, ready to go, and I'd just run to my prayer room and I'd just pray to God. And, you know, it's something that helps me in my life, and that's just a barrier that I've had to force myself to deal with. And maybe you have barriers. We all have barriers, something that's maybe holding us back. And so we need to keep that, because we want our prayer life to be crisp with God and keep that flow there. Lastly, in this point, you know, daily bread, you know, something that came to my mind when I think Pastor Chris was talking about this a little bit, but it really talking about fire, you know, Lord, don't give me old fire, but give me fresh fire. So I've been saved over 30 years now, and I've seen some fire in my day. You know what I'm saying? In the church, it'll be, you know, it's kind of like an ebb and a flow. You know, sometimes, you know, you got really a lot of fire, and sometimes your fire kind of, you know, just down to a flicker. But, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't really want that old fire from yesterday. That was good for then. You know what I'm saying? But we as a church need to be in prayer. And I don't know if you've really noticed this. If some of y'all have been paying attention to the announcements and things that we've been mentioning going on in our community, but there's a lot of people turning to prayer. You know what I mean? Just by different testimonies. We got several churches coming together to pray together. Now we're going to have a little prayer thing at the school. You know, now this 21 days of prayer we're a part of. You know, I believe God's telling us something, people. Now we need to be a part of it. You don't have to be a part of it, but we need to be a part of it. We need to try to participate in whatever way we can. Because that's what the Holy Spirit leads us. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that, hey, it looks like, you know, God may be using this problem that we have in our country to drive people to their knees. Amen? Because that's what we need to get back to as a nation. So I encourage us, you know, as a body at River Life here and those who are listening, just to desire to seek that. And we need to pray for revival. That's what's going to turn this country around and turn lives around. You know, like I said, old fire was good for yesterday, but we need the fresh fire. Also, we don't need strange fire. Remember in the Old Testament, a couple of the sons, you know, they wanted to do things on their own, you know, so they wanted to do it their way, so they got their own fire, and well, God struck them dead. You know, God's not really doing that anymore, but there would be a lot more people in this room today, you know what I'm saying? You know, if God was striking people dead when they, you know, mess up, a little more fear and reverence of God there, but, you know, God's doing it a little different now. I think there's something about grace or mercy. I don't know what it is, but one of those things, you know, seems to be happening. But, you know, what's dangerous is when we as a church bring worldly, profane things into the house of God. Those old thinking, that worldly thinking, you know, that we've accumulated out there, and then we bring it in here, and then we offer that up to God. We need to be careful. We need to make sure that our fire comes from the true Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk there in God's power, and that's very important. Next passage I want to look at is found in Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 and 24. You know, we need to pray this prayer, this scripture, quite frequently in our life, in my opinion. It's something that we need to open up from time to time. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." You know, that's safer to have God do it, but have you ever asked your spouse, and don't do this unless you can really handle it, have you ever asked your spouse, hey, if you see any fault in me, I want you to tell me about it because I want to fix it? How many's tried that? I mean, I know I have, but how many then don't like what you hear? I think we all do. I mean, nobody wants to hear that stuff, you know, for the most part. But, you know, but hearing that stuff's what we need, and that's why we need to have the candid relationship with our God where we're saying, hey, God, here I am. Fix me. I got some problems. I got some things I'm not there yet on. And I want to get those. And so the 3 points I want to see here is where I am now, where I want to be, and then how do I get there? So where I am now is I believe that we need to give the Holy Spirit permission to search the hidden places of our heart. When we sit down to pray, we need to say, Holy Spirit, you know what's in there. You can shine your light in those places of my heart that ain't quite right. You know, maybe I have a bad attitude towards somebody. Has anybody ever had a bad attitude towards somebody? You know, I remember, I'm ashamed to tell this story almost. I bet I am. You know, I remember I led somebody to the Lord and I didn't like them. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really care for that person. They were mean to their wife and all these things. I just didn't respect the person at all. But then they called me to come up and pray for them. And I did, and they got saved. You know, I could easily have gotten the Jonah attitude, you know, Jonah. He got mad when Nineveh got saved. I mean, you know, God help us for that attitude, you know. But see, God loves everybody. Amen. And that's something that we got to remember. We're not the judge, God is. And, you know, God humbled me in that situation because my attitude wasn't quite right. And so some of those attitudes that we have, we need to let the Holy Spirit come in. I'm going to mention a few here, you know, because attitudes can come in and then we have wrong thinking about something. You know, one of the things I always ask myself, and I'm going to come back to trust here, is say, you know, we say we love God, but do we trust God? And that's the issue. I think most people really love God because we believe that God really loves us. I mean, there's some people that maybe struggle in their self-image and they don't understand the concept how much God loves them. And if they did, that would kind of fix some of that. But like I say, is the idea that we don't really get to the place where we really trust Him, that we really let Him rule and reign in our life and take control. You know, I'll save you, but you know that old song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." I remember, you know, different people tried singing that a time or two. But one time we had somebody try to sing that in youth group. It was a real hoot. They mumbled through all the words, and then when they got to the chorus, "Jesus take," they would really sing that out loud, you know. But so we said, well, you're not ready for the platform yet, so we held off on that one. But it's all good. That was a long time ago. But say, the idea of we want Jesus, you know, I remember the story of a guy. He was out walking. It was very foggy. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And he was walking along, and all of a sudden, he just fell. And as he's fallen, he reached out. And he grabbed a hold of a branch and just hung on for dear life. Couldn't see where he's at, didn't know what was going on. And he was starting to cry out, "Is anybody out there? Is anybody out there? Can you help me?" And all of a sudden the voice from heaven says, "I can help you, I'm God." "Oh God, thank you. What do I do?" He says, "Let go." And there's a silence for a minute. Then the guy said, "Is there anybody else out there?" But then when the sun came up in the morning, he was only like 5 foot from the ground. He could have let go, and he could have had a lot better night. See, a lot of times we ask God to come into our life, and then he tells us something to do, but sometimes we just don't want to trust him and learn to just let go of some things that are maybe holding us back. You know, you don't have to really, you know, like somebody to pray for them. That's a tough one, isn't it? Especially we're in the political year, 2020. You know, and maybe it's hard to pray for the other side sometimes, you know what I mean? You know, I remember one of the politicians, I won't mention their name, but, you know, they said they pray for the president. I'm sure they pray that he's going to die. You know, I mean, there's that much hatred out there. But see, we don't have to like the people that we pray for. You know, and that really opens our eyes. See, if God can love people that I don't love, then surely I can pray for people that I don't like. And that's important because I believe that God hears those prayers because we don't want to, like I mentioned earlier, be like Jonah. You know, Jonah was so mad because the Israelites and the Ninevites just hated each other. And God sent the man on a mission. He prayed the prayer, some crazy prayer, maybe you prayed it. "God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go and I'll say anything you want me to say." God said, "Okay, go to Nineveh." "What?" So Jonah jumped in a boat, went the other direction. You know the story, he got thrown overboard, a whale grabbed him and threw him in the belly and then hauled him off to Nineveh and spit him out on the beach, you know. And, you know, finally come to his senses because what made him get right with God, he says, "What I vow, I will pay." You know, we made a lot of vows with our mouth. And sometimes God takes us up on those things. And we need to be aware of some of those things. So we need to get to the place where we can get past our own personal emotions and our personal problems so that we can pray. Well, next we want to do, where do we want to be? Where do we want to be? And what I found with prayer, it helps our spiritual focus. You know, prayer to me puts our eyes on the answer instead of the problem. You know, a lot of times the problems in life get so big, don't they? And then we start thinking about and we make those little molehills in the mountains. But yet when we take time to set ourselves apart and pull back, you know, we start to take our eyes off of that little problem and we put our eyes on that big God. And then it starts to put things in perspective into the place that they really need to be. See, I think prayer helps us to see God in our situation. Because as we go through life and if we allow ourselves to get into a flow of chaos and craziness where things are just going so wild and out there, you know what I mean? So that chaos just kind of takes over. I think, you know, that old Charlie Brown, you know, Peanuts, dust cloud or dirt cloud anyway, wherever he walked, maybe he's just shrouded by that cloud. And see, that's what it gets like for us sometimes. We get out there in life and it just seems like everything is going the wrong way. And we just get all messed up and we just can't think straight and we just think this is how it's going to be forever. But if we take some time and pull away from that cloud and we get into the presence of God, it starts to change our focus and we start to see really what God wants us to see and how he wants us to do it. I believe we start to realize that we're actually praying from a place of victory instead of a place of defeat. You know, prayer also helps us to see the harvest. See, God's about souls. So prayer helps us to see the harvest. Only when we see the harvest will we reap the harvest. A lot of times we go out in the world and we just look at a world that seems like it doesn't care. A world that doesn't want to hear about the truth of Jesus Christ, and maybe you work with some people like that, or maybe you even live with them. But I'm just saying we need to continually focus our prayers to find the ones that are ready, because God has people ready. And we need to be a part of tapping into that and being a part of this last day revival, this last day harvest that God wants us to do. I've always said this, one of the greatest feelings you're going to have in your life is when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ. When you lead somebody to Christ, it's a life-changing experience. It just puts a lot of things in perspective. You know, I enjoyed getting married and, you know, having kids, and those rank up there. But those are just, you know, things that happen in this life. But see, when we lead somebody to Jesus and they accept him as their personal Lord and Savior, that's an eternal thing. That's going to be forever. And what we have to understand is that then that person can also go and lead other people to Christ. So it just, you know, the networking and the things that happen is just crazy, the things that can happen just because we're obedient to God. Well, then we need to think about how do we get there? How do we get there? You know, this is the execution part of our desire. And I really believe this, that, you know, for most people, one of the greatest weaknesses that you and I really deal with is the idea of execution. I'm not talking about killing somebody right now. I'm talking about executing a plan. You know, most times when we want something, we're just satisfied with wanting it, but we fail to get a plan on how to get it. You know, we pray for things and we seek for things. And then we just long for them and we desire them and we want them. But yet we don't get a step-by-step plan. I believe God, when we commune with him and we get into his presence, that, you know, there's a lot of great plans that God wants to give us. Ways that we can execute the plan that he has for our life and what he wants for us to do. You know, maybe you have different dreams and desires for your life. You know, but maybe you're going to have to get your ducks in a row. Maybe you're going to have to get some things, you know, in order in your life before you get that place. Maybe it's going to take 2 or 3 years of you getting things in order. You know, maybe you need to enhance your education and able to get the thing that you want. Maybe you're going to have to, like I say, go to school again or things like this. You know, but you have to get a plan and we need to execute that plan. I'll be honest, one of the greatest failures of our church is the fact that we get a plan and we very seldom execute those plans. We get an idea on what we're going to do, but then it just seems like everything falls apart and, you know, we don't execute the ideas that God's given us. And that's a failure, you know, that I want to turn around in my life and in the life of this church. Last scripture I want to look at. This is one of my favorites. I got a few of them. Galatians 2:20 is my signature scripture, but this is another one I really love. Acts 3:19. And that's because I'm a prophecy motive gift, and that's why I like part of this one. It says, therefore, repent and return, so your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. See, to me, Acts 3:19 is the three R's. You know, when I was in school, you know, we spelled them that way too. Reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? That's the three R's. Well, in Acts 3:19, it's repent, return, and refresh. So the first one we're going to see is the idea of repentance. Repentance. Now, in my opinion, repentance gets a bad rap. I mean, most people, if we talk about it, we'll be honest, if we're in a conversation here, we say, you know, I say, brother, sister, you know, I think you need to repent. Well, they get mad, right? Why? Because I just said there's something wrong here and you need to fix it. So we just think repentance is a bad thing. But to me, it's it gets misunderstood because it brings freedom and not grief. If we really repent, it means that we're turning away, turning around, and we're getting rid of that old junk in our life. And that's good. That's good to be able to let go of that stuff. And I believe, you know, a lot of our repenters have been broken, you know what I mean? It's broken on inside of us. But to me, you know, it's good to repent, because when you repent of something, you're letting go of that. Maybe you've said something to somebody that you wish you wouldn't have said. Or maybe you've done something that you wish you wouldn't have done. Or maybe you didn't do something that you wish you would have did. You can carry that around. You can bury it, but it's still in the back of your subconscious. And every now and then, it's going to eat on you and eat on you. When God all the time gave us a way to fix it, repent. Get rid of it. Let it go. Don't let the devil use that again to beat you up or to beat you down. And as we do that, then we start to walk in the area of God's freedom and how important that is. Because God has so many good things. See, God made repentance because he knew that we needed it. See, the trouble with many Christians today is that we try to improve ourselves instead of repenting of our sins. And see, self-improvement is only good for some things. You know, yeah, we can get better at a few things. But, you know, truly repentance is the way. Next, we need to return. And that's getting back to where we need to be. Now, I've found out in my life, and maybe you have too, is that life has a way of luring us down the wrong path. Have you ever been lured down the wrong path? I mean, it's out there, and maybe the devil put up some billboards or some signs saying this way, this is the good way, go this way, it's a lot better way, it's easier, it's a shortcut to life. You know, and all these things, you know, they try to lure us and get us off the way that God has set out for us. But see, what we need to do sometimes is maybe just change direction. We need to get back where we were. We need to get back to that place where God's called us to be. You know, and as we do that, then we're going to start to experience joy and freedom and all the things. You know, I've watched a lot of people over the years as a pastor and things, and some start on fire and then they kind of get lazy after a while. You know, they pull back, and, you know, maybe you were more involved in the church, you know, years ago. And you've kind of gotten busy, or you figure, you know, you've done your time and it's time to chill and get back. But I'm telling you, that's one of the biggest mistakes you're going to make, because, you know, unless you replace that with something else, you know, but serving God, I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I experience God the most in my life when I'm helping other people and doing things to bring God's glory in his life and to him. You know what I mean? And the only way that's happened is if I'm out there doing things for Christ. And I don't want to pull back. You know, I plan on never retiring from God. That's my goal. I never want to retire from God. I may retire from, you know, I don't think I'll retire a preaching. I mean, I don't know. I plan on preaching until I die or somebody kills me. You know what I'm saying? Amen. You know, that's just the way I think. You know, so I just believe that I keep doing things until God gives me something different. Lastly, is the idea of refresh or revival. That's what we're looking for. One of the greatest longings of my heart is what I really live for is revival. I want to see revival in our nation. You know, I long for that. Ever since I became a Christian, you know, I've just longed for revival. And you hear the stories about God's going to pour out his spirit and, you know, people are going to, you know, come to Christ. And, you know, I read that scripture where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. You know, those are going to be, that's just going to be the fulfillment of my bucket list. You know what I'm saying? I just want that so bad. I just want to see people come to Christ because they're so separated and far away. I know where I was and how lost I was. But then I know what Jesus Christ can do. How he can bring us back. So we need to pray for that. But see, it all starts by repenting, returning, and then comes refreshing. We have to do it in sequential order. Now, some of us have gotten to the place, you know, like stale bread. Be honest, I usually throw stale bread away. I don't keep it around. But when I was looking this up, you know, we need to be refreshed. You know how you fix stale bread? You get it wet first. And then you throw it in the oven. So you got to get wet, and then you got to get hot. You need to get wet with God's word. You got to let the water of the word wash over you. And then you got to get in the oven, get in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And you'll get your fire back. You get back in there where God wants you to be. Start hanging around crazy people. You know what I'm saying? The ones that are just wanting to go for it with God. That believe Jesus Christ is real. And just hang around those people. And get with them. I mean, I praise God. When I first got saved, I got involved with some very radical people. I mean, they didn't go to work crazy and getting thrown in jail or nothing, people. But they just loved Jesus. And they just wanted to go for it. And they just wanted to lead people to Christ. And all these things. And I didn't know any better. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to do that stuff. You know, I just thought, well, that's how Christians act. You know, I praise God for that. That was awesome. See, when we get refreshed, I believe it gives us a passion for the lost again. We want to see them come into the kingdom. And when we're refreshed by the Spirit, you know, I found that the things that interest God start to interest me again. You know what I'm saying? There's some things that interest God our Father. And I, you know, how many when you grew up, maybe you wanted to be like Dad, you wanted to do some things that Dad did. I remember my dad liked to hunt. You know, I like hunting, but I mean, it wasn't something I really didn't like getting up and early and going out in the cold. You know what I mean? And traipsing around and, you know, doing those things. Then, you know, wait a cold sandwich. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember Mom would fry up some hamburgers and, you know, and put the bread. We didn't have buns back then. We were so poor, I guess. But anyway, she'd put it on bread. I still remember this. And then she'd douse them with ketchup and you pull those things out about noon and they're just almost frozen, you know. But they were so good. You know, but the reason why I wanted to do that is because I wanted to be with my dad. So what interested my dad, I was interested in that too. And see, that's how we need to be when it comes to the things of God and being with our Father. You know, I found in my life that prayer and the Word of God needs to be our weapons of choice. Because we're in a battle. And the enemy won't quit. He wants to try to hold us back and make us feel inadequate, like we're not going to make it. But I believe that, you know, through the Word of God and prayer, it's so important. And the goal of this thing, to come back, to wind it back up to our daily bread, is that the importance, and I can't stress this enough, if you only learn one thing today, remember, you need the freshness of the presence of God. We need that daily. However you know how to get it, whatever it takes. You know, prayer's one avenue. You know, I like worshiping a little bit, confessing scripture. But whatever it takes for you and your life to get into the presence of God, you have to do it. Whatever it's going to take. And you have to do it because nobody else is going to do it for you. It's up to you and your relationship with God. So those are just a few thoughts that I got this week, you know, from the 21 Days of Prayer with Church of the Highlands, and that's awesome. If you haven't done it yet, hey, give it a go. One thing I like is the fact that it makes you disciplined just to get in there. And they'll sing a few songs. They'll have a little brief talk about it, and then you hop right in doing some praying and just see if God speaks to you. He may not or may, just mainly just be in His presence. And so I encourage you to do so. Let's pray.